This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello, this is Natalie Pinchem, and I will be reading summaries of articles on oncology, vestibular schwannoma, anatomy, vascular disorders, and smoking, published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on February 14, 2014. Medial acoustic neuromas, clinical and surgical implications, a clinical article by Ian Dunn and colleagues. Medial acoustic neuromas are a rare variant that occupy the cisternal compartment with minimal or no extension into the lateral internal acoustic canal. These lesions confer a distinct clinical syndrome and surgical challenges. The authors evaluated 52 cases involving patients with medial acoustic neuromas who had been treated by the senior author. They found the tumours to be large to giant, with a high prevalence of cystic and hypervascular features. They note that intracisternal growth allows these lesions to reach a large size before causing symptoms due to cranial nerve involvement, cerebellar or brainstem dysfunction, or hydrocephalus. Despite the large size of the tumours, 20% of patients had perfect hearing, and another 20% had serviceable hearing at presentation. Intracisternal growth also leads to a unique rearrangement of arachnoid layers surrounding the tumour. While multiple arachnoid layers exist in the superior and inferior poles of the lesion, duplication of the arachnoid layers is absent against the brainstem, leading to marked adherence and prompting intracapsular dissection. Medial to lateral growth of these acoustic neuromas and the absence of a large canalicular tumour burden causes kinking of the facial nerve at its entrance into the porus, increasing the surgical risk. Despite these challenges, the authors found that 87% of patients with preoperative grade 1 or 2 facial nerve function in this series still had grade 1 or 2 function after surgery. They conclude that awareness of the characteristics of medial acoustic neuromas allows excellent surgical outcomes to be achievable. Smoking and postoperative outcomes in elective cranial surgery, a clinical article by Nima Allen and co-authors. The authors investigated the association between current or prior history of smoking and 30-day outcome of elective cranial surgery in 8,296 patients identified in the National Surgical Quality Improvement Programme, a national prospectively collected clinical database with proven validity and reproducibility. 1,718 patients were current smokers and 854 were prior smokers. The authors used propensity score matching to control for nearly 100 baseline characteristics, including demographic variables, pre-existing comorbidities, and abnormal preoperative laboratory values. The propensity score denotes the probability that a patient is a current, prior, or never smoker, given an observed set of covariates, minimizing the impact of confounding variables in a retrospective study to provide the same effect as randomization in a prospective study. The authors conducted one-to-one propensity score matching between current or prior smokers and never smokers. In the matched cohort, no association was found between smoking and adverse outcomes. Similarly, the number of PAC years in propensity matched analyses did not predict worse outcomes in prior or current smokers versus never smokers. Therefore, although smoking cessation is beneficial for overall health, it may not improve the 30-day outcome in patients undergoing elective cranial surgery. Thus, postponement of elective cranial cases only for smoking cessation may not be necessary. Novel embalming solution for neurosurgical simulation in cadavers. A laboratory investigation by Arno Bennett and co-workers. Surgical simulations using cadaveric human heads is one of the most valid strategies for neurosurgical research and training. The authors of this study developed a customized embalming formula that provides an optimal retraction profile and lifelike physical properties, while also preventing microorganism growth and brain decay for neurosurgical simulations in postmortem specimens. The authors provide their chemical formula and describe in detail the technical proceedings for optimal specimen preparation for neurosurgical simulations. They also studied the retraction and surgical simulation profiles, the anatomical detail on magnetic resonance images, and the brain stiffness properties after using the customized formula. They compared them with those of the standard postmortem processing techniques, that is, cryopreservation and formaldehyde-based embalming. The study shows that the customized embalming formula provides an optimal brain retraction profile, long working time, and low biohazard risk for neurosurgical simulations in cadaveric specimens. Overall, the customized formula provided the best feature combination for cadaveric neurosurgical research. The featured embalming formula represents an important advance for neurosurgical simulations in research and teaching. Extensive basal ganglia edema caused by a traumatic carotid cavernous fistula, a rare presentation related to a basal vein of Rosenthal anatomical variation. A case report by Isabel Racht and colleagues. A direct carotid cavernous fistula is an abnormal communication between the internal carotid artery and the cavernous sinus, leading to a high-flow shunt. Clinically, patients with these fistulas usually present with pulsating proptosis, corneal edema, and chemosis that are related to engorgement of the superior ophthalmic vein draining into the cavernous sinus. Authors of the present report describe a rare presentation of traumatic direct carotid cavernous fistula with extensive acute edema of the basal ganglia. The patient had right ocular trauma from a thin metal rod. On admission, she presented with left hemiparesis and headache, which rapidly evolved to a comatose state. Digital subtraction angiography showed, in addition to the high-flow fistula, a hypoplastic second segment of the basal vein of Rosenthal. The first segment of this vein and its branches mainly drained into the cavernous sinus via the uncle vein. Thus, the basal ganglia edema was explained by reflux from the cavernous sinus into the first segment of the basal vein of Rosenthal and its branches, leading to engorgement of the veins draining into the basal ganglia. Internal carotid artery occlusion via coils was performed on an emergency basis. At the one-month follow-up, the patient had recovered, with only slight residual left hemiparesis. On follow-up magnetic resonance imaging, basal ganglia edema was totally resolved. Thank you for listening. Follow the JNS on Twitter at #TheJNS. And please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.